This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Let's discuss the educational rights of the women in Islam. The first guidance revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Almighty God, to the whole of humankind in His last and final revelation, the glorious Quran, it was not to offer salah, it was not to give charity, it was not to fast, but it was Iqra. It was to read, to proclaim, to repeat. And the first five verses revealed of the glorious Quran was from Surah Iqra, chapter number 96, verse number 1-5. It says, Iqra bismi rabbikal ladzi khalaq. Khalaqal insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbukal akram. Alladhi 'allama bil kalam. 'Allama insana ma lam ya'lam. Read, recite, proclaim in the name of thy Lord who created. Who created the men from something which clings, a leech-like substance. Read in the name of the Lord who's most bountiful, who taught men the use of the pen, who taught men that which he did not know. The first guidance given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, it was to read, and it was to both male and female. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad said, it's mentioned in Sahih Hadith of Ibn Majah, Hadith number 224, the beloved Prophet said, Ta'alaqul ilm faridatun ala kulli Muslim. It is obligatory on every Muslim, man or woman, to acquire knowledge. The Prophet specially told the parents to educate the children, especially the daughters. It is the duty of the husband to give education to their wife, especially religious education. And if they don't, she has the right to go to the court, to the judge, and demand for it. If he cannot teach it himself, he'll have to send her and see to it that he educates her. There is a chapter in Sahih Bukhari, when one hadith, the woman, they approach the Prophet, and they tell him that you're always surrounded by men. Why don't you give us a special time? And the Prophet agreed. And used to specially dedicate time to educate only the women. He also sent sahabas to specially educate the women. And if you read the history of Islam, 1400 years ago, in the days of ignorance, in Yawm al-Jahiliyyah, at that time, we have examples of many women, several women who were scholars. The best example I can think is Aisha bint Abi Bakr, may Allah be pleased with her, the wife of the Prophet. And one of her very famous student, by the name of Arwa, may Allah be pleased with her, she says that I have not come across a scholar greater than Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, in learning of the Quran, in obligatory duties, in lawful and unlawful things, in literature and poetry, in Arabic history and genealogy. And when we read the seerah of Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, we find out that she lived many years after the death of the Prophet, and she guided many of the Sahabas. And she even guided all the four Khulafa Rashideen. Many a time when foreign delegations came to the Prophet, and when they discussed medicine, etc., Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, her memory was very good. She used to memorize them. She was also an expert in mathematics. And after the demise of the Prophet, many of the Sahabas came to her, especially while dealing with mirath, while dealing with inheritance, because she was expert in mathematics. History tells us that she has taught several scholars. She has taught no less than 88 different scholars. So in short, she was a scholar of the scholars. And only on her authority alone, there are no less than 2,210 hadith reported. Only on the authority of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. We have the example of Umm Salma, may Allah be pleased with her, who was the wife of the Prophet. And according to Imam An-Nawawi, she was the most intellectual woman amongst the learned women. And according to Ibn Hajar, he calls her as an authority. We have the example of Safiya, may Allah be pleased with her, who was the wife of the Prophet. And Imam An-Nawawi calls her as an intellectual woman. We have the example of Fatima bint Qais, who was one of the Sahabiya of Prophet. But she was so learned, and the immense knowledge she had, that once there was a discussion on the issue of fiqh, and she had a point of view, and Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, and Hazrat Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, they objected, but they could not prove her wrong. She was so knowledgeable. We have the example of Umm Sulaym, may Allah be pleased with her, who was the mother of Hazrat Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, who was the famous Sahaba. And according to Ibn Hajar, he says that she was a very intelligent woman, and Imam An-Nawawi calls her as authority. We have the example of Umm Darda, who was the wife of Abu Darda, and Imam Bukhari, in his Sahih Bukhari, he calls her as an authority on the science of Hadith. We have the example of Sayyidina Nafisa. Sayyidina Nafisa, she was a scholar, and she taught many students. One amongst her students was Imam Shafi, may Allah have mercy on him. We also have the example of Aisha bint Saad ibn Abi Waqas. She too was a scholar, and amongst her students, one of the students was Imam Malik, may Allah have mercy on him. Rahimullah. Imagine in the days of ignorance, in Yawm al-Jahiliyah, there were several women who were scholars. At that time, people were hardly educated, and imagine we have examples of several women who were great scholars.